Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Faye Clark.
Don't know about my story. I could have stayed in that place forever. Amazing. Wow. So, yeah. We've been hearing stories, haven't we, over the last couple of weeks, and today is no different. However, I'm not going to give you, I was born on the 28th of August 1978 and I'm still alive today. Okay? You're not going to hear the ins and outs of my dirty washing aired in public, I'm afraid. Okay. But what I am going to give you is I'm going to give you an element of my story. Actually, I'm going to give you two elements of my story. My faith story and a little bit about what God's been doing in the last 12 months. So, what I'm hoping is that as I share with you this morning, God is going to give you some weapons. Okay, I had to use the word keys, but Steve said weapons in the prayer meeting this morning. I thought, I like that. It's a bit more powerful than a key. In different ways, keys open doors, weapons arm us. Okay, so I think actually we'll have weapons and keys. They can be a key to open a door, and they're going to be a weapon to help you fight the battle that we're called to fight. Okay, so I have learned a lot in my short time of 30-something years. So I'm still young and I have still got way to learn, a lot to learn, okay? I don't have it all sorted. I don't have all the answers. I am still on a journey. I'm still on a faith journey, okay? And we've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. I am no different, okay? You might look at me and think, no, surely not Faye. She's a little angel. It's not true, okay? However, the truth is, okay, the amazing liberating truth is, as we repent, the Father lavishes his love over us and he pours out his forgiveness on us, okay? That is the truth. I've messed up, but God is always working good for those who love him, okay? And Psalm 103 verse 12 says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from me. Okay, let's make it personal. As far as the north is from the east is from the west. Man, that is a long way. So that's why I don't need to air my dirty laundry in public, because God's wiped the slate clean. He's redeemed me. He's set me free. Okay. And today I am no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer entangled in chains because I belong to God and he belongs to me. Okay, on this journey so far, I've learned that nothing in life is easy. Okay, it has its ups, it has its downs, but when we're walking with Jesus, it's one heck of a lot easier than when we're not walking with him. And okay, I've done both. So I feel that I can say that, because when I wasn't walking with Jesus, I thought I knew it all. I thought I knew best, and it was messy. Okay, so I guess, really for me, my faith story starts when I was about 24. I was brought up in a Christian home, had an amazing childhood, an amazing teenage years. My parents built in me a great foundation, which is all that we are responsible for. All you can do as a parent is build a good foundation in your children. Then you have to give them wings to fly and trust that what you've built in them is going to be enough. Okay. Just as a side note, I don't care what you think about your parents, but I have the most amazing parents in the world. Better than anybody else's. They've done an amazing job. Look at me. Yeah. And I've got not only the great earthly parents, but I've got amazing heavenly father. Okay. They did a great job of encouraging me. They're a great example to me. They encourage me. They support me. They've laughed with me. They've cried with me. They've guided me. They've never left me. I might have made wrong choices, but through all those wrong choices, my parents never gave up on me. Neither did the Heavenly Father. So regardless of how wonderful your parents are or aren't today, the Heavenly Father never gives up on you. Okay? He's always at work on your behalf. So I had a great foundation. However, at the age of 24, I made some not so great choices, okay? I'd had a pretty normal life up to then. I was leading worship. I was involved in loads of stuff, the kids' work. God was pretty central. But I guess I'd never really had a challenge where I had to make the choice for myself. Not really, because I was surrounded by that. And guess what? It all came down to a boy. What a surprise! But there you go. Doesn't matter what it came down to. So in 2001, at the age of 24, I entered into this relationship. Just want to say, it was a disaster. Okay? I couldn't see it at the time, and I don't regret it. Okay? It was a wrong choice. God couldn't change the consequence of my choice, but he could turn it around for his glory. And I learned a lot from it. And looking back now, it enabled and prepared me for some of the stuff that God was going to release later on in life. It was my wrong choice, but God has turned it around to be good. Okay. So just as a side note, if anybody's considering engaging with somebody that is not a Christian, it is not a wise choice. Okay. Come and talk to me. I can help you learn from my example. All right. And loads of stuff happened in the 3 years that followed. Okay. Stuff that we don't need to go into right now because you don't need to know the ins and outs. It was messy. And it was damaging, okay? And I left home. I actually became unrecognisable as a person. When I look back now at that person in that period of time, I don't recognise who that girl was because it wasn't me. I wasn't bubbly. I wasn't happy. I certainly wasn't carefree. And I certainly was not loving. Okay, I became downbeaten, sad, and lost all of my self-confidence. Because I myself was not a great person. I with God, however, was different. Okay, so, and you know, it was a tough time. I endured both emotional and physical abuse. And the more that people tried to reach me, the more I actually separated myself from them. Because dark and light can't coexist. Okay, shocking, huh? Anyway, on the 26th of July 2004, something amazing happened. Okay, things became so bad. It had been a particularly bad Saturday with this person. Things had got really bad. And I had come to the decision that if this is all I had, because, you know, our words are really powerful. And this person spoke stuff over me that said that I wasn't really very good. I was useless. I wouldn't account to much. And if I hadn't got them, well, then I wouldn't have anybody. And the more people speak stuff over you, the more you start to begin to think that that is the truth. And it's not. This here, guys, this is the truth about us, right? What other people speak over you is not the truth. I want to put that out there. This, what God speaks about us, is the truth. Not what other people's opinion is. This, what God says. And I woke up that Sunday morning, after this awful night, which I'm not going to talk about because we don't want to give it space. It no longer has anything to do with my life today. And I cried out to God and said, do you know what? If everything I know about you is true, then you better show me right now, because if not, that's it, I'm done. I cannot live like this. And I want to say this, it's not because I didn't have amazing parents, and it wasn't because I didn't have people around me that loved me. It's because I had disengaged and separated myself from the people that would speak truth, from the people that would encourage me, the people that would say this is the way, walk in it, the people that would speak the truth to me in love, because I didn't want to hear it. Because I wanted something else. And actually, what I wanted was not good for me. And I really picked up my Bible for the first time in what seemed like forever. And I turned to Isaiah 54. This scripture has held me fast since that point. Now, if you say to God, you better speak to me right now because I need to know you're real. He hears that. And he spoke this to me as if it was directly written for me and nobody else. And it says this: "Sing, O childless woman, you who have never given birth. Break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, you who have never been in labour. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home and spare no expense. For you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities." Now I could stop there and we could all go, wow, that's flipping amazing. If my kids are going to do that, that makes me one happy girl, okay? But God went on, he said this: "Fear not. You will no longer live in shame. Do not be afraid. There is no more disgrace for you." Wow. Somebody that had been in my situation, that had made the choices that I had made, and God was saying that directly to me. "Fear not, you will no longer live in shame. Do not be afraid, there is no more disgrace for you. You will no longer remember the shame of your youth." Wow. All of that shame, all of that wrong choices, all of that was never going to be remembered again, okay? "No longer will you remember the shame of your youth and the sorrow of your widowhood. For your Creator will be your husband. The Lord of Heaven's armies is his name. He is your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth. For the Lord has called you back from your grief, as though you were a young wife abandoned by her husband, says God." Now listen to this. This is the bit that spoke to me. "For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with great compassion I will take you back." There was hope. In that one sentence alone, nothing else mattered. God was speaking directly to me. "In a burst of anger, I turned my face for a little while." We do things that makes God mad, guys. We do, because we're not perfect. But, means there's something great happening. What comes next? Amazing. "With everlasting love, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer, my Redeemer." He's having compassion on me because he loves me. "Just as I swore in the time of Noah that I would never again let a flood cover the earth, so now I swear that I will never again be angry and punish you. For the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then my faithful love for you will remain." Regardless of what goes on from this point, regardless of what's been going on before, my faithful love remains. I couldn't see it, but God still loved me even through all of that rubbish, even through all of the wrong choices. It didn't matter. It was so liberating. In that moment, I felt set free. Guys, in that moment, this sets us free, okay? Whatever's going on, this sets us free. Ooh, I'm excited. Sorry. "Oh, storm-battered city." That was me. I was storm-battered. I was broken. "Troubled and desolate." That was me. I was troubled. I was desolate. I was broken. I was in a desert place. I didn't think there was any hope for me. But God had a different plan. Yep. "I will rebuild you with precious jewels and make your foundation from lapis and lazuli." Anyway, precious jewels. I'm happy with that. In fact, diamonds for all I care. Because they are a girl's best friend, hey. "I will make your towers of sparkling rubies, your gates of shining gems." Now that speaks to me of a preciousness. I'm going to make you into something so precious, so expensive, so amazing, so attractive, so wonderful, that everybody is going to want a piece of what you have, because I'm going to build you so beautiful. Those desolate cities that everybody might see, forget it. Forget it, guys. I'm going to rebuild you into something amazing. "I will teach all your children and they will enjoy great peace." Wow, who could ask for more for their kids? "You'll be secure under a government that is just and fair. Your enemies will stay far away and you will live in peace." And I just want to say, when you live in peace, that doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. It just means you've got the peace of God to deal with it, okay? Anyway, from this point, as you can imagine, my relationship with God got personal. It was no longer Pastor Lynn O'Brien's faith. It was no longer somebody else's faith. This was mine. Me and God, we got personal. Okay. And just as a side note, if you are a parent, I know that my parents never gave up. They might have wanted to, but they continued to pray for me. The power of a praying parent can never, ever be questioned. Because God hears your prayers. You might not be able to reach into a situation. You might not be able to change a situation. But you can pray for that person. God is going to come through for them in the end. He did for me. If he did for me, he can do it for anybody. And I know that my parents prayed for me. When I was unreachable, they'd knock on my door and come into the house where I was living, and they would sit and pray with me, and then I would ask them to leave. I'm not joking. This wonderful person that you see here, she was really like that. They would come into my house, they would speak to me, then they'd pray, and then I'd say, "Have you finished? You can go now." I'm not joking. That is honestly what I would say to them. And they persisted because they loved me. They persisted because they trusted God. They persisted because they brought the truth in love. But they never, ever gave up. Regardless of how rude I was, my house, my rules, can you go now? I use that now, actually, my house, my rules. My house, my rules, you can sit down and you're not washing up. You ask them, it's true. But in a good way, I use it now. Not in a my house, my rules, can you leave now? But they persisted. If you need breakthrough with your kids today, don't give up knocking on the door. My parents never gave up on me, ever. And I was pretty vile in those 3 years. I was not lovable, I can assure you. Yeah, that's because you're my mama. Sometimes all we can do is watch and pray. Not just for our children, but in lots of situations. Sometimes all we can do is watch and pray. But at least let us watch and pray. But from this point on, okay, worship and word became paramount in my life. I made the decision to kiss dating goodbye and to serve God. All I wanted was the best. And if it wasn't his best, I didn't want it. When we make that decision, God honours it. Look, it's true. I started to see myself as God saw me. And when we start to see ourselves as God sees us, things begin to change. At that point, it didn't matter what anybody else thought of me. Their opinion almost changed. My life changed in an instant. All that had been spoken over me didn't matter anymore. Okay, because what God said is what mattered. And, you know, God began to show me that we were all prodigals. Okay, I might have made a mess of stuff. And I started to read The Prodigal Son and get a bit of an understanding. And the parable, well, we all know the parable of the prodigal son, but it says this, and he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the son gathered all he had, took a journey to a far country, and squandered what the father had given him." Okay, God began to show me that in my life, he is a gentleman. God is always going to, he's always going to give me freedom of choice. But if I trusted him in him, then only the amazing plans that he had in store for me would come to pass. Okay, all of that which God spoke in Isaiah 54 was true for me. He'd promised it. He'd said it. Okay, he knew best. I began to realize that we are all prodigals. All our experiences in life are different. Okay, but every day we can choose the will of the Father or we can choose to eat with the pigs. All right? That boy was not ready for his inheritance. Sometimes we are not ready for things that we want God to do right now. But if we trust God and we trust that he's going to release it in the right time, we're not going to end up eating with the pigs. But God gives us freedom of choice. And in fact, God said to say to me, "How many times, Faye, have you made a decision without consulting me?" Right from that very first choice, when I was very engaged with God, I didn't consult him because I wanted something. I was desperate for that relationship. It was wrong. It was the wrong one for me. God had something better. And although that might have been the case, God's turned it around amazingly. Okay. And as we know from that story, the father was always watching out for his son to return. Always. He was always hoping. He was always looking. He was always loving. He never gave up on him. He was waiting for the moment that he saw him in the distance, ready to welcome him home. Just as my folks were with me. You know, they were always waiting. They were always hoping. They were always loving. They were always praying. They were always looking out. They were always waiting for that one little glimpse of something that, you know, God was going to use and break. Maybe I needed to be broken so God could put me back together. Amazing, hey? From that point, nothing, nothing but God was important. He taught me how to be loved. He taught me how to trust again, how to be compassionate from all that I had experienced, how to love people and not judge them, how to embrace others, how to serve others. I began to understand that these years that I wasn't married were the years that I could be sold out for Jesus. These were the so important time that I had no other responsibility but to serve him and serve him well. So God and I, we went on this journey of restoration. And I want to say this, it wasn't quick. All right, sometimes we need to be patient. And when God has to put us back together, he has to get even those little tiny bits that are broken. It's like a jigsaw, isn't it? And God started to show me that the hurt that I had, some of the hurt that I had caused. And I started to understand the need to repent, okay? Not just to repent before God, which is essential, daily, okay? But I started to understand the hurt that I had caused other people in the way that I had behaved, in the way the things that I had said, in the things that I had done. And, you know, God was teaching me that I needed to apologize. You know, sometimes, guys, we need to apologize. God forgives us, but sometimes we actively need to do that too. Because for me, if I hadn't have done that, that would have blocked the restoration job that God was doing. I'd have come to a standstill. Hold on, we still need to knock this wall down. We still need to restore this bit, and we still need to restore this relationship. And that's what he does. I have the best relationship with my parents now than I ever had before. We're not just mother and father and daughter, we're friends. And I believe that if this hadn't been through all of this, that might not necessarily have been the case. I started to understand things from their perspective. God showed me stuff that I needed to understand. And he continued to pour out his love and his healing. Sometimes it was 3 steps forward and 10 steps back. But God never gave up on me. Every time it got difficult, I hit Isaiah 54. Every time I wanted to give up, I hit Isaiah 54. Every time I want to give up now, I hit Isaiah 54. Because this is what God said to me that he was going to do, and that doesn't change today. It's the same today as it was in 2004. Thank you. So from that time, I guess, the importance of reading my word and worship became central. There was no radio on in my car. It was only worship music. Okay? Life was pretty good. In fact, life was pretty amazing compared to what it had been. And I guess that you would say that God showed me some keys or some weapons that I needed in my life to carry on the journey that we'd started, and they were these. Repentance is an essential walk with our God every day. Every day we're prodigals. Every day we get to decide whether we're going to walk with the Father or eat with the pigs. If we choose to eat with the pigs, we need to get to that point of repentance quick. It is essential. It's not just I've got saved and I've repented. It's an everyday thing. Now, that's not just repentance as in I'm sorry. That's forgiving other people. I had to forgive that person that did that to me. And I'm trusting that one day God is going to do a work on them. I'm trusting that. The other weapon or key that I learned in this time is prayer. God revolutionized my prayer life. Without prayer, forget it. Relationship, relational. Prayer is relational. God speaks to you, you speak to him. Worship. Worship changes things. This morning, worship into that chorus, crowned in glory. Oh man, worship takes you to another place. It strengthens you. It gives you something to drink. It makes you, you know, we're responsible, guys, for our well of worship. Don't let it run dry. It's essential. Worship every day. It is not a question of if, but yes, I must. Okay. Fellowship. I gave up on fellowship. I gave up on my friendships because I had such a low self-esteem that I thought, well, then what have I got to offer them? You know, fellowship and friendship, it's essential. Surround yourself with people that are going to speak truth. They're going to speak love. They're going to encourage you in the word. Surround yourself with people that are going to help you. Mentoring and discipleship. Not questionable. Without mentoring and discipleship, I wouldn't have made it through. Accountability. Okay. When I was praying for a husband, I made myself accountable to people. And I want to say this, with God on your side, all things are possible. So, I'm going to move on a little bit now to the second bit of my story that I want to share with you. 7 years on, I was having a really tough time. All these people kept telling me, oh yeah, God's sending you a husband, it's going to be a suddenly of God. I was like, if one more person tells me they're going to send God sending me a husband, I might have to poke their eyes out. Anyway, God was sending me my husband, and he is the most amazing gift that I could ever ask for, and a million times more than anything I ever prayed for, okay? Because God had more than enough to give me and the best prepared for me. But before he released that, I went through a really, really tough time. I was at a wedding. It was a non-Christian wedding. I was surrounded by couples. And, you know, at a Christian wedding, people kind of, like, include you. They, like they chat to you and embrace you. At a non-Christian wedding, they don't do that. So I was on this table with some friends of ours who don't see each other very often, so they were all catching up, and I was surrounded by couples, and I was like, God, why am I here? This is just painful. And I can only go through what I would call 4 weeks of grief. I was heartbroken. And I was like, God, if you are not going to release my husband to me, you have got to take this desire to be married away, because I cannot deal with it anymore. It's just, it's too much. It's too much. And the people that I had made myself accountable to, Sam and Hazel, came into church on the Sunday, and I was leading worship, and I was like, Hazel, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm bereft. But I've got a job to do, okay? God had called me. I needed to do what God had called me to do. I had to put all of that to one side. And God started to remind me of the promises in Isaiah 54. And I woke up on the 29th of December, and me and oh dear, yes. I said to God, I'm not going to go on a date with anybody unless you write it in the skies and put flashing lights. And I remember Helen said to me, God doesn't always do what you want him to do in the way that you want him to do it. I was like, great. Love you. Thank you. It was true. It was true. Very wise words from Helen. It was very true. And I got up and I really felt that God said to me, I want you to go on Fusion. I was like, no, God, we're done with that. I'm not getting involved in all that. I already told you I'm not doing it. You've got to send him to church or do something, but I'm not going on no internet dating site. No. Anyway, all day, God was like, I want you to do it. I was like, I'm not doing it. No, I want you to do it. I'm not doing it. Little did I know that at the same time, Steve was having the same conversation with God. So on the 29th of December 2010, Steve and I were actually both obedient, thank goodness. And I saw Steve's profile, and I was like, oh, it's not really my type. And then two things came to mind. My mum had said to me, maybe you just need to look for somebody a bit different. Don't go down the same old route. It's not proven well in the past. It was true. It was true. It was wisdom. And Helen's word of, God is not going to do necessarily what you want him to do in the way that you want him to do it. All right, God. So Steve got his ears and his tattoos, and I was like, well, he's not the sort of guy that I'd normally go for, is he? And I read Steve's profile, and the one thing that stuck out of there was his heart after God, his servant-heartedness. And I was like, oh, okay. Anyway, the rest, as they say, is our story and history. And 10 months later, Steve and I were married. Now, we were living a suddenly of God. And I remember at that point, halfway through, Hazel said to me, do you realise we're living a suddenly of God? And that word that somebody had spoken to me about 4 years ago when they said, when God sends your husband, it's going to be a suddenly. I never understood what a suddenly of God was till I was living it. And, you know, 10 months is not long, but Steve and I, you know, it felt like he had been part of our family forever. He just fitted. He was my last missing piece of the jigsaw. Bless him. Don't get emotional. Steve's getting a bit emotional. It's making me a bit emotional. It's nothing else. Totesy Mo's down the front here. Okay, so our chapter began, a new chapter for us. And our faith story is constantly being written as we walk out hand in hand together with the Father. And Isaiah 54 is not only my promise now, it's Steve's. Okay, when the going gets tough, me and Steve hit Isaiah 54 because it's the truth. It's the promise over our lives now. And I want to finish with this. Okay, there's a lot of stuff in here. Listen to it again because you're going to need some of those weapons we talked about. But I want to finish with this. You know, life is full of ups and downs, okay? It's full of mountaintops and it's full of valleys, all right? Just because we accepted Jesus doesn't mean that everything's going to be rosy. It just means we've got a helping hand. Getting married didn't solve all my problems. Just want to put it out there, you know, getting a husband does not solve all your problems. It comes with a whole load of different problems, I can assure you. As I'm sure having a wife does the same. I'm not just saying it's a man thing. You know, you've got to learn to live with somebody. You've got to put up with their faults. But Steve was not the answer to my problems. He's the helper along the way. He's helping me. He's molding me. He's supporting me. He didn't solve all of my personal issues, my personal confidence issues. Even with Steve, even when we were engaged, 3 steps forward, 10 steps back, why would Steve want to marry me? What have I got to offer him? He's such a nice guy. He could do so much better than me. These are the things that we had to deal with. These are sometimes the things that we still deal with. 5 years down the line, nearly. Because we're on a journey. All right. It gave me someone to help me through. And even now, Steve and I, we face many, many challenges. Okay. And, you know, this last year has been particularly challenging for us. And I just want to read this to you from Isaiah 54. I do love the Bible app, but I don't want to tell you that at the moment. Okay, in the Message, I love the Message version. It's amazing. And it says this, sing, barren woman who has never had a baby. That's me. Fill the air with song, you who have never experienced childbirth. You're ending up with far more children than those childbearing women. Because it says in here, God says so. So we believe it. Clear lots of ground for your tents. Oh dear, we might need more than one for Faith Camp, Steve. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Make your tents large, spread out, think big. Okay, use plenty of rope, drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for the growing family. You're going to take over nations. So Steve and I have particularly been holding on to that. We are making room. Okay, some of you know this, some of you don't, but Steve and I can't have children. And it's been quite a devastating year for us. But you sit down. We're making space. Because that word says that we are, who have not yet given birth, we're going to have a massive family. got one. I thought it might happen. Okay, and I'm not sharing this with you because I want you to think, oh, how awful, Pay and Steve can't have children. We're not telling you because of that. I'm telling you because God says something different, okay? In our adversity, in all that seems impossible, God, when he was speaking to Mary, said, all things are possible for me. Okay? And, you know, on this journey, we've had amazing support. We've had amazing prayer cover. We've had amazing family loving us through it. And, you know, we have good days and we have sad days. But, most importantly, we're taking a hold of this. This is the anchor in the storm. All right? This, that God spoke to me on the 26th of July 2004. Who knew? God knew. God knew that I would need every word of this at every stage of what was to come. Every mountaintop and every valley. Okay? And, you know, Steve and I, we're taking hold of that promise. We don't know what it's going to be like, but we are preparing for him to open the door. And we know that the children that he has got to take care of, he has got for us to take care of, only we can take care of them. They might not be our own. They might be our own. Just because something has been spoken doesn't mean that it's going to be the case. All that we know is that God has promised that our family is going to inherit nations. All that we know and all that we can stand on is right now is a time to dig deep. In the last 12 months, we have dug deep. Okay? We've been on a journey. We've discovered stuff. We're preparing for stuff. Okay? And we're called by God to stand for all that he's called us to do. Because only we can do that. And all things are possible. And when God is on our side, we don't have anything to worry about or fear. And, you know, whether that's natural children or spiritual children, Steve and I are prepared to stand in the gap. Because God said that's what we're to do. And if God said that we're to do that, then he's going to enable us to do it. Ha! Barrenness? Nah. My God's a God of fruitfulness. Barrenness in the natural? Who cares? We're fruitful in the spiritual. You know? We're fruitful in the spiritual because we are singing over our barrenness with rejoicing. We are singing over our lives with all that God has promised for us. And we know that God is on the move. We know he's opening doors. We know that nothing can stop his plans. We know that the children that, as I say, we're going to take care of, or who he's got for us, are only for us, and only we can do the job. Okay? And I want you to go from here today knowing that the same amazing, wonderful, life-changing, loving, forgiving Father, that is at work in my story, is at work in your story. Okay? That was my story. Okay? But your story is no different. God is at work. God is on the move. God is showing you stuff. God is giving you weapons. God is giving you keys. You can learn from other people's story, but only you can write your own story with God. I don't know if you're here today or if you're listening and you haven't started writing your story with God yet. But don't delay. Okay? I don't know that today, if you're in a place where you're in a bit of a prodigal son situation and you've been eating with the pigs a bit smelly. That's not me. I had a shower this morning. But seriously, I don't know, guys, today, if you're in a prodigal son situation, I don't know if you're in a desert place. But what I do know is that God is looking out for you. He's looking out for you to come back to that place of relationship with him. He's looking out for you. He's loving you. He's hoping for you. He's interceding for you. He's waiting to welcome you home. He's waiting to turn your barrenness to fruitfulness. I don't know where you are today, but God does. And if he can do it for me, then he is more than able and more than willing to do it for you. If he can transform my life, and I was eating with the pigs. Man, I smelled pretty bad. And I was pretty desperate. But God picked me up. He took all that dirt and filth, got rid of those clothes, and dressed me in robes of righteousness. Not because I deserved it, but because he wanted to. When he was on the cross, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished. It is done." This morning, I want to speak that over you. It is finished. It is done. It's time to take a hold and write that faith story. It's time to get out from the pigs. It's time to get out of the desert land. It's time to engage with God. Give it to him. He'll do the rest. Shall we pray? Yeah. Yeah, God, I thank you that you are loving. I thank you that you're giving, that you're kind, that you're amazing, that you're generous, that you care for us, that you are constantly looking out for us, God, regardless of where we're at. You're just wanting us to turn around and come home for that big welcome. You've got that fatted calf ready to kill, to rejoice over us. And God, I pray that today as we go from this place, Father, I pray just like you did for me as I called out to you, that as we call out to you in that time, in that private time, God, that you're going to answer. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you that when you said it is finished, it is done, that was it. It was final. As we just come to that place with you, oh God, that you're the one that lavishes love over us. God, I thank you for every promise over us that is yes and amen. God, even when we can't see it, it's still yes and amen today. God, I pray that as if we're in a place of barrenness today, God, I pray that you breathe your spirit into us, God. I thank you that barrenness is going to turn to fruitfulness. I thank you, God, for that promise of our children inheriting nations, taking nations. God, as we strengthen the pegs in the ground, as we make more space for you, more elbow room, God, I pray that you invade the space that we make for you. I thank you, God. I thank you for all that you have for us. God, I thank you that you are continually writing a faith story in our lives, us and you. With you with us, God, we can do all things. We can conquer all things. Thank you for valleys. Thank you for hilltops. God, I thank you, the God of them all. Thank you, God, that you've spoken to us today. Pray, God, you continue to speak to us through your word. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.